isn't it? Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. I'd like for you to turn there with me tonight as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. You can quote this verse by now, I'm sure. The Bible says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Tonight I want us to look at His name shall be called the Everlasting Father. Let's pray together. Father, we do come to You, recognizing who You are, and understanding the only way we're able to come to Your presence is through the blood of Christ. I ask You, Lord, to meet with us tonight. You know every need in this place, in every heart, every life. Lord, may we be encouraged by Your Word tonight. And if there be one here without Christ as Savior, may tonight they come to the understanding of their need for Thee, and we pray that they would trust Thee. Pray for the preaching of Your Word. Lord, give me wisdom. And Lord, help us to do what needs to be done with what You've given to us. May we respond to Your Word according to Thy good pleasure. For it's the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. His name shall be called the Everlasting Father. The psalmist said in Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2, "Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God." His name shall be called the Everlasting Father because He is the Everlasting Father. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He is co-equal, co-existent, eternally existent with God the Father and God the Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ. This one, this child that's born, this son that's given, this one that the government will be upon his shoulder, his name will be called Wonderful, it will be called Counselor, it will be called the Mighty Father, and it will be called, the Everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. The Bible teaches us that from eternity past, God is God. To eternity future, God is God. He always has been, and He always shall be. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit equals God. And they, dear friends, do the work of the Godhead. And we understand tonight that with our finite minds, we can't understand it all. We understand that we can't fathom it all. But the Bible says that He is the I Am. The Bible teaches us, you remember when the Lord called Moses and Moses said, "Who am I going to tell Israel that has sent me?" And He said, "Tell them that the I Am has sent you." Well, what's so important about that? The I Am means He is the ever-present God. By the way, I don't know how long the Lord is going to wait before He returns, but He's already in my tomorrow. He's already in my next week, and He's already in my next year, if the Lord so allows. Now, do I understand all of that? No, but I certainly believe it. I believe He is the ever-present God. Before the world ever was created, He had already died on the cross because He is the I Am. He is the ever-present God. He is the great I Am, and He is from everlasting to everlasting. And our minds may not be able to truly comprehend the fact of everlasting, but if we're going to go to heaven, then by faith we must accept this thing. We must realize this is what the Bible is saying. He is the everlasting Father. The Bible teaches us about our Heavenly Father in the Gospel of Matthew chapter number 7, in verse number 7. The Bible says, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, verse 8 says, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? We look to this tonight and we realize that our everlasting Father is able to take care of us. We are sheltered safe in the arms of God. When God is our Father, everything's going to be okay. He's going to watch over us. He's going to protect us. He's going to chasten us when we need to be chastened. He's going to bless us when we need to be blessed. He's going to strengthen us when we need to be strengthened. And He's going to weaken us when we need to be weakened. Because He is the everlasting Father. He already knows what's around the corner. So many of us are fearful about our tomorrow. But if we'll just live for the Lord, He already has our tomorrow in His hands. He's already got it taken care of. And as we follow Him, He will take care of us. I love the song, "Be not dismayed, whatever betide." Why? God will take care of you. Right? Do you believe it? I remember old Ralph Sexton Sr. telling one time, I love Brother Ralph. He was one of those, there's a video of him on the computer. If you go see it, and he talks about how holy God is, and holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. And he starts talking about the holiness of the Lord, and you feel like you've been ushered into heaven, you know, and you're in the presence of God. But he said back years ago, they had one of those trucks. He would go around preaching tent revivals everywhere, all through the mountains of North Carolina, and said one night he was heading down the mountain and back before they had interstate over them mountains. I'm telling you, it was bad. It's bad enough with the interstate because you're still going downhill pretty good. And if y'all have not been going over from Asheville down into Johnson City, you don't know what I'm talking about. But it can get just a little bit scary going that way. But before they had that interstate, we made that trip many times. And those roads would go like this and just going up. You know, I mean, honestly, if Jody would have been sitting in the back seat, there's a couple times I could have kissed her and I was in the driver's seat. I mean, that's how curvy those roads were. And we'd be going down those hills, you know. But he said he was driving that old tent truck. They just gotten done with a meeting. They were all excited. God had done some great things. That tent revival had gone several weeks. They were all excited about what God had done. They had taken the tent down. They were sad to take it down, but they knew it was time to go ahead and close up the tents and to move on. And so they were going down one of those mountain roads. And he said, as we was going down the mountain road, said, I pushed the brake, and we didn't slow down. He said, Lord, I don't know what to do. God said, I'm going to take care of you. And he said, I started singing down that road. Be not dismayed, whatever be time, God will take. He said, I don't think I ever went across the white line or the yellow line. I stayed right in the line, but I was going pretty fast. But I made it down to the bottom, and God took care of me. He had great faith in the Lord. If he was ever around this guy, you would know what I'm talking about. Of course, he's been with the Lord now for several years. But boy, what a man of faith he was. Listen to some of those stories that he would tell, just thrill your soul. And I'll never forget the night that he was telling that story about how God took care of him and how God watched over him. Some of these old preachers, you hear the stories about their life being threatened. You know, the one preacher that got up and said somebody shot at him, and they said they unloaded a whole round of bullets in the middle of a church service. And not one of those bullets hit that preacher because God was taking care of him. You say, I don't believe that. Well, that's the problem in today's society. We just don't believe God can anymore. We need to get back to believing that God's able, that He is the everlasting Father. God knew before Brother Ralph went down that mountain that his brakes weren't going to work, and maybe he was just testing Brother Ralph to say, are you going to trust me or not? And sometimes God allows things and he's saying, you going to trust me or not? You going to put yourself in my care? Or are you going to try to handle it yourself? Well, one thing I think every one of us know tonight is when we let God take care of things, He does a whole lot better with it than what we do. He's the everlasting Father. He is the I Am. And dear friends, if I, being evil, being able to sin, if I will do everything I can to take care of my children, how much more will my Father, which is in heaven, who is perfect and righteous and holy and able, how much more is He able to take care of us? He is the everlasting Father. And if you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, He's become your heavenly everlasting Father. And there's some everlasting wonderful gifts that He has for you. Number one, I want you to see that as your everlasting Father, He offers you everlasting life. What a gift everlasting life is. I want you to turn with me now to the Gospel of John, chapter number 3. John chapter number 3, and we're going to begin at that famous verse number 16. Probably the most known verse in all the Bible is John 3:16. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life." John chapter 3, verse 36. "He that believeth on the Son hath what? Everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Thank God for everlasting life. John chapter number 4 and verse number 14. "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into..." Now y'all about to get this, right? You know I'm going to ask you to say everlasting life when we get to that part of the scripture. Maybe you have to say eternal life in just a moment. I don't know. We'll see what happens, all right? So we understand tonight that the Lord Jesus says time and time and time again that we have the gift of everlasting life. John chapter number 5 and verse number 24. Notice what the Bible says to me. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that hath sent me hath..." So you're about to get there. "And shall not come into condemnation." You see that? "But is passed from death unto life." Do you realize when you get it, you got it all? Everlasting life, that's a great gift that God has given to us. John chapter number 6 and verse number 27. Notice what the Bible says. "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." John chapter number 6 and verse number 40. "And this is the will of him that hath sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have, and I will raise him up at the last day." Do you think the Lord Jesus is trying to show us something here? Do you think the Lord Jesus is trying to emphasize something? Do you realize where God places the emphasis is where we're supposed to place the emphasis? And the Lord Jesus Christ Himself is saying over and over and over again, "When you believe on me, you get everlasting life. When you trust in me, you get everlasting life. When you drink of this water that I give to you, you have everlasting life. Hey, when you put your faith in me, you have everlasting life. Not only do you not come into condemnation, but you get everlasting life." The Bible goes on. It says in John chapter number 6 and verse number 47. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath..." I like that. John chapter number 12. And I want you to turn there with me. And verse number 44. And let's look at this together. And I hope you're getting the emphasis here. We're seeing what the Lord Jesus is having to say. "Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that has sent me. And he that sent me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world.
He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which has sent me. He gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. And whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Here's the commandment. Life everlasting. Here's what Christ came to do. He came to bring everlasting life. Because he is the everlasting Father. That's who we're talking about tonight. His name shall be called the Everlasting Father. And the gift is, once you trust him, is you get everlasting life. And I've said this multiple times around here. The day I was saved, I entered into everlasting life. The very moment that I trusted Jesus as my Savior. You say, preacher, you said that to me so many times. You've said it up there so many times. I'm tired of hearing it. Well, I'm going to tell you again. There's going to be a day this man is going to die, or the Lord's going to return. Now, I don't know which is going to happen, but I'm leaving this world one way or another. When I die, I don't know who's going to write my obituary. If it's my wife, she knows better than to put that the day that I die was the day that I entered into everlasting life. And if you wanted to be truthful, you could put, Joe Shelton entered into everlasting life on August the 26th, 1985. Because that's the day I trusted Jesus as my Savior. My everlasting Father gave me the gift of everlasting life. So when you look at me, I'm going to live forever. I'm going to die on ever. Jesus died on the tree for me, and I'm going to live forever. I know my name may never be written down in history, but it doesn't matter where it's written in this world. Everybody sees my name out there on that, but you know, that's absolutely nothing, because I know a lot of preachers that have their names on there whose names are not over there. Oh, you mean you could be a preacher? Well, not God called. Mama called, daddy sent, you know. Right? Y'all know any mama called, daddy sent preachers? If you don't, I can introduce you to a few. It's quiet in here tonight. Y'all dead. Maybe y'all just died and went on with that. God's left the carcasses here. And the rapture's taking place, and I've been left behind. I don't know. Everlasting life. A gift from the everlasting Father. Another gift that the Lord has given to us tonight is the everlasting Word. The everlasting Word. I want you to notice what the Bible says, and the psalmist writes in Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I like that. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 24 verse 35, the Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 25 says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. When I hold the Bible in my hand, I do not hold a book with error in it. I hold the infallible, the inerrant, and the inspired Word of God. And dear friends, we'll not accept it as anything other than that around here. It's God's precious Word. It's been preserved for us. It's been given to us. It's been passed down from us. When they were preparing this particular Bible, they would not even write the name Lord without cleansing themselves first. And they went in. And by the way, this is not copyrighted like the rest of them. I like that too. You want to know why? Because God wrote it. Yes, sir. Thy word,
O Lord, is forever settled. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I have the everlasting word. I read lots of commentaries. I read lots of different books on theology. I read lots of different things. But when I want to get something settled, I go to the book. Because the book's where you get the answer. The book's where you find out what you need to know. The book, the word, it's the word that saves us. The Bible says in the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 1, in verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. The Bible says it pleased God by the foolishness of what? Preaching. To say them which believe. Well, what are we going to preach? Reader's Digest? Huh? Better Homes and Gardens? Dr. Spock's Guide to Raising Children? That's what the world preaches. We're going to preach the book. Amen. We're going to preach the Word. Paul said to Timothy, preach the Word! Amen. Instant in season, out of season. This is the book that God has for us. The Bible. I love the old Bible, precious old Bible. The light on my pathway to shine. It makes me so happy. It keeps me so happy. God's wonderful book, divine. God's Word's given for us. And the Word of God was preached that night in August 1985. And when the Word of God was preached, guess what happened? It shined the light on my sinful condition. And it said there's only one remedy for your problem. You've got to believe what thus saith the Lord. You've got to believe that Jesus died, that He was buried, and that He rose again. So the Word saved me, didn't it? The truth of God's Word saved me. I was saved by grace through faith because the preached Word of God showed me I was a sinner and that Jesus died for my sins and that all I have to do is put my faith and trust in what He did. Not anything I do. I trusted Jesus Christ and Him alone. The Word of God not only saves us, the Word of God guides us. The Bible teaches us in the book of Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 12. And you know this verse of Scripture. It's very familiar. The Bible says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Well, in other words, the Bible tells us everything about us. It shows us everything we need to know. It's a discerner. The Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So it guides us. If we'll allow it to work in our lives, we need to understand that what we do, we need to get our instruction from the Word of God. We need to get our guidance from the Word of God. The Bible guides us. And then the Word protects us. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. The Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, and against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. I'll never forget somebody told me one time, they said, well, you know, the Bible tells us that we're to stand. That's all we're supposed to do, is stand. But that's not what my Bible says. It says, having done all to stand. There's a big difference. There are things we're to do. I know a lot of people, they just want to stand. They want to stand still and watch everybody else do the work. They want to stand still and not involve themselves in this. They want to stand still and not talk to somebody about the Lord. They want to stand. But the Bible says, having done all to stand. It's all right to stand. And I understand it's talking about being firm. And I understand that. But you'll never be firm unless you've done what you're supposed to do with your life. The Bible goes on and says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of the salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So what is the Word of God? The sword of the Spirit. All these things are armor, and they're defensive. But there's one thing that protects us in the offensive manner, and that's the Word of God. And one thing I found out about the Bible is it offends people. I can invite people to church all I want to, and most people are never offended when I invite them to church. But if I start talking to them about the truth that they're sinners, because the Bible says they're sinners, that's when they get offended. It doesn't bother them. And see, the problem is we won't reach many people, you know, in certain ways if all we talk about is church, because they need to understand their sinful condition. People will never get saved until they realize they're lost. And by the way, we're living in an amoral society. So things that the Bible calls sin according to society are no longer sin. Society says it's an alternative lifestyle. Now they're even going beyond that. They're just saying it's a normal lifestyle. Some people are born certain ways. But the Bible says it's vile. The Bible says it's wicked. The Bible says it is an abomination. That's what the Bible says. You know, drunkenness, people says, well, it's a disease. They're alcoholics. The Bible calls them drunkards. And the Bible says it's sin. You understand this? This lascivious lifestyle that we see going on, all the things with sexual happenings. You know, that's my big deal with abortion. The problem with abortion is wicked lifestyles. See, they made their choice when they chose to go into that lifestyle or to do certain things. It's a great sin. Yes, I believe it's murder. But I believe there was something that brought that along, don't you? I mean, children in here, we're not going to get into detail, but you understand exactly what I'm saying. But see, that's acceptable now. Frivolous living. Sexual things. Parties with that intent. If that would have happened in the early 1900s, when it did happen, you were condemned by the community. But now it's normal. What's happened? Well, we've forgotten to take the sword of the Spirit that's quick and powerful and cuts asunder. We forgot to take this offensive weapon and go out into the world and say, here's the problem. Sin is the problem. You say, well, where do you get that from? The world would say, from the everlasting Word. Our one fixed point of reference, because it is the Word of God. It's consistent. It's from everlasting to everlasting. Guess what? You'll never run out of ammo with God's Word. The well will never go dry with God's Word. The answer will never be unknown with God's Word. They say one of the worst things to ever happen in the battlefield, in a foxhole, is for somebody to holler out, ammo, ammo. And somebody to say, we're out of ammo. But in the battle for the Lord, you'll never run out. When you holler ammo, God will give you exactly what you need. He's given us the gift of the everlasting life, the gift of the everlasting Word. But dear friends, if you reject the everlasting life through the everlasting Word, I want you to see something else that's everlasting. There's everlasting destruction. Look with me, if you will, to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 1. The Bible says in verse number 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. The Bible says, if you don't put your faith in Him, you don't receive everlasting life that comes from the everlasting Word, then the Bible says, you get everlasting destruction. Just as God is going to give us a glorified body so that we'll be able to enjoy the pleasures and the glories and the wonders of heaven, I'm telling you, with the bodies that we have, we could not stand the glory of heaven. I am convinced that's why we have to have a new body. I want a new body. Amen. Man, you know what? I'm going to be fit forever. You may not think about things like that. I won't have to put my contacts in the morning. That's all right for me. I don't know what that body is going to be like. I don't know what it's going to look like. Somebody says, well, what's the age? I don't know. I'll find out when I get there. I'm going. And God's going to give me a brand new body. And it's a body that's going to be able to enjoy the glories of heaven. But just as God's going to give us that, God's going to allow those that reject Christ to have a body that will last forever. Because the Bible says they're going to everlasting destruction. Can you imagine begging to die through the fires of hell, never being able to die? Can you imagine the weeping, the wailing, the gnashing of teeth, the horrors of hell, and never being able to escape it, hoping that the flames will consume you, but they will not, because there is an everlasting destruction for those that deny the everlasting Word and the everlasting life that God has offered. Jesus is coming. He's coming soon, I believe. You say, can you prove it? Well, I can't prove exactly when He's coming, but I know that what the Bible says, things are supposed to happen before He comes. I see most of it taken care of, if not all of it taken care of. It depends on how you interpret a couple little things there. But I want to tell you, He's ready. And I believe the only thing that's holding back is His grace, giving you the opportunity to know the Lord. But the Bible teaches us, you know, a lot of people don't think He's coming again. A lot of people laugh and mock and make fun. But the Bible says in the book of 2 Peter, chapter number 3 and verse number 4, that there's those people talking about the scoffers. They're going to be walking after their own lusts, and they're saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Are we not hearing that now? We hear the scoffers. You've preached it for years and He hasn't come yet. The Bible goes on and says, for this they willingly and ignorant of, willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why hasn't the Lord Jesus come? Because He's long-suffering to those that are outside the family of God. Not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. As Timothy says, all should come to the knowledge of the truth. There is everlasting life. By the way, I've already got it. There is an everlasting word. By the way, I'm holding it in my hand. But there is an everlasting destruction. And this world is being deceived, thinking that there is no eternal damnation. But the Bible is clear. You receive Christ, heaven will be your home. You reject Christ, hell will be your home. You receive Christ, you get everlasting life. You reject Christ, you have everlasting destruction. And our everlasting Father, the one that in the beginning created this whole thing, the one that already existed when the beginning began, has not changed one iota. He is the same. He is from everlasting to everlasting. And He has promised us in His Word that we can have everlasting life, but if you reject it, then it's everlasting condemnation. I'll not come into condemnation because I've already received everlasting life. If you're here tonight and you've not trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you realize that you're condemned already. But your condemnation can be undone. God's work cannot be undone, but the devil's work can be undone. And if you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to be a little bit more offensive. That sounds harsh, but you understand what I'm saying. Not going out to try to make an enemy, but we're going to have to be truthful with the fact that when people die in their sins, then they're going to die and go to a devil's hell. And we've got to help people to understand that they're sinners. We don't have to be mean. We don't have to be ugly. But there's too many people that will try to help other people to feel good about themselves, when what they need to hear is that their greatest need is Jesus, because without Him, they're going to die and go to hell. His name shall be called the Everlasting Father. And by the way, we'll stand before Him one day with what we've done, with the everlasting life and the everlasting Word that He's given to us. May the Lord help us. Let's bow our heads. So we get ready for this hymn of invitation. I'm not going to ask for a showing of hands tonight. I'm going to ask you to take inventory of your life as you sit there. You ask yourself, do I have this everlasting life? And you already know the answer. You know if you have by faith trusted Jesus Christ and Him alone. You know if there's ever been a day of your life where you understood that you were a sinner, called on Him to forgive your sin, to come into your life, be your Savior, committed yourself to living for Him, you know. You know if that's happened or not. You know where you stand with the Lord. If you're here and you've never made that decision to trust Christ, then tonight the invitation is for you to come and receive everlasting life. The everlasting Father promises it to you that if you'll come and take Him at His word. If you're here tonight and you've trusted Jesus as Savior, you say, I have everlasting life. What are we doing with His everlasting word in our life? Are we, first of all, are we taking it in? Is it a part of our life every day? Are we giving it out? Are we telling others about Jesus, about their need for Him? Are we loving people the way that the Lord teaches us in His Word to love people? May the Lord help us. Oh, may God work in our lives. Father, we give this time to Thee. May Thy precious will be done. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, take our songbooks.